This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamateur Hour. I am Bama John. We have producer Scott, we have Will K, and we have Dr. T. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. We now have over 100 subscribers on the YouTube channel. We now have one video with over 600 views and several other with over 100 views. I want to thank you all. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, iHeart Podcast, RSS Podcast. Subscribe, like, follow us on any of the platforms where you access our content. You can find us on Facebook on the Bamateur Hour page and at BamateurHour.com as well. The Bamateur Hour is where we amateurs talk about Alabama football, basketball, and other related topics. So let's jump in. Today is Wednesday, May 14th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. We are amateurs, are blessed to be here, and happy to talk about Alabama football today. And that's what we're going to jump into. We're going to jump into the Alabama offense for 2025. We're going to look at what the problems were from last year with the offense. We're going to jump into the various areas that were concerns from last year, how they may be addressed this year, how things look up for the offense this year. And then we're going to look at the position groups and we're going to talk about what we think the outlook is for the offense. So we're going to jump into it. Let's go into the rundown. First off, I'm going to list some problem areas and we're going to jump into it in detail. Number one, there was inconsistent play at quarterback. I thought the quarterback from last year regressed versus how he did the prior year, took too many sacks. We had an inexperienced first-time offensive coordinator to boot. We had a head coach change, and we had a new OC come in, and he had never been an OC before. At the running back level last year, we did not have a dominant NFL-level running back that Alabama's used to having. We had inconsistent offensive line play. We didn't have a consistent run blocking scheme and game, and we had breakdowns in the pass protection. Transition from Saban to DeBoer went okay, not great. And when the offense was forced to pass, they couldn't move the ball consistently and could not win when they're forced into pass-only options. We didn't have a quarterback that could pick apart the defense and move the team down the field. It was either explosive play or bust, and the offense was just inconsistent. So those were the issues that just in a highlight issues that we had from last year. Jump in, Will K. Comment on the struggles from last year and where you thought we were really struggling on the offensive side.
Jalen Milroe. Now, I will say he looked like the Heisman winner against Georgia. I mean, when he plays Georgia and LSU, he's the best player I've ever seen. I mean, the past 2 years, not just this past year, but, you know, when he was with Saban too. I was at that game. I was also at the game after that, the Vanderbilt game, where, you know, he wasn't bad. He did have two turnovers. That was more of a defensive game, but he's just so hit or miss. I thought, you know, the defense was fine for most of the year last year. They gave up 40 to Vanderbilt. And it seems like they just didn't show up in the games that they, you know, they just kind of tossed them aside. Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, you know, Michigan was just a bowl game. It didn't really matter, but Jalen Milroe was terrible in that. So just peaks and valleys, you know. Went to LSU and beat them by 4 touchdowns. Was beating Georgia by 28. That did come back, but beat them. Tennessee, Jalen Milroe wasn't great. I think that Ty Simpson is more Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer's speed, more of a pocket passer, and he's going to get a lot of help with his receivers, which might be the best in the country next year. Jam Miller's back, you know, good. He'll just have a lot around him, so I think that he doesn't have as much pressure. So that's what I'll say about that.
Dr. T.
Yeah, on the heels of Will, I agree. I think Jalen Milroe was the problem last year. He had some good games, but I think we won in spite of him, not because of him. And most of the time, I think you had a first-year offensive coordinator who, man, you put him in that situation, it's tough. And if you're experienced like Lane Kiffin or maybe Sarkisian, they can do it with somebody like Blake Sims or Jalen Milroe. But a new guy trying to use a runner like that who can throw a deep bomb, and that's about the extent of his weapons, it was tough. And I think we realized, you know, early on, we don't have a great OC, and we don't have a really complete quarterback, and it was going to be difficult. I didn't expect Vanderbilt or Oklahoma, but I expected us to only go as far as Milroe could take us unless DeBoer had the leadership to pull him out, like Sarkisian pulled Ewers out once last season, maybe twice. But I remember one in particular game, he wasn't playing well. They pulled him out, and we could have easily done that this season. And I heard a guy on the radio yesterday saying, if it had been Saban this year, which is, you know, easy to say, but that he would have pulled him out, he feels like, halfway through the year. But I think DeBoer was not comfortable doing that. So we went as far as we could with an inexperienced OC and an average quarterback.
Hey guys, I want to throw out a couple of stats here that I think are real interesting in the wins. So we had, what were we, 9-4 last year. So in 9 wins, Milroe's passing completing percentage was 70%. But the average yards per game were 215 passing yards per game, and he threw for an average of 1.5 touchdowns per game and threw for less than 1 interception per game. So it was 0.5 per interceptions, so it was 1.5. So it was a 2-to-1 ratio of TDs to interceptions in the wins. And then in the wins also, Milroe rushed for 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he averaged almost 4 touchdowns per game with less than a half of an interception per game in the wins. In the 4 losses, Milroe had a 55% completion percentage. So he went from 70% completion percentage to 55%. He did throw for more yards, 226 yards versus 215, but he only threw 1 passing touchdown per game in the 4 losses. And he averaged 2 interceptions per game in the 4 losses. And then on the rushing side, he averaged 9 yards rushing per game in the 4 losses. And he averaged 0.25 touchdowns per game in the 4 losses. So what did they do? They forced, in those 4 losses, forced Milroe to throw the ball. They exactly loaded the line of scrimmage. They did not let him break containment. They did not let us run the ball. And they said, pick us apart if you can. We're not going to give you explosive plays over the top. You got to pick us apart with the 5 to 20 yard passes. And Milroe couldn't do it. And it's going to be, it's really interesting that Milroe and Shedeur Sanders, Milroe went, I think, in the 3rd round, and Shedeur Sanders went in the 5th round. And we would have done a lot better with Shedeur Sanders under center. with this team last year because he's highly accurate, great ball distributor, would have gotten the ball out. He could throw the deep ball, the intermediate, the quick pass. He couldn't run the ball. Couldn't have had the explosive plays, but I think would have been a lot better off with that type of quarterback last year. And so that's the thing about Milroe is the inaccuracy, holds on the ball too long, takes sacks because he's holding on the ball. He didn't read the defense well. So I thought those stats were very telling for the problems that we had last year. And they just wouldn't give Ty or Austin Mack snaps when Milroe wasn't playing well. They were just going to die on that hill, and it was tough to watch.
Scott?
Well, guys, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
Remember, I am a Florida man in many ways.
Oh my God.
All the videos you see, I'm that guy. I suffered from some Saban fatigue as a casual fan. So then I was just in the last few years just kind of enjoying the competitive balance and watching Georgia do well and just not paying attention in detail other than noting that Milroe was inconsistent. So this exercise for me is going to be academic. I just don't have the viewing history. But you guys sound super smart, and I believe what you're saying.
Thank you, Scott.
It's my pleasure. And you may have another if you ever ask.
Okay. I want to say something, John, also about Milroe that I didn't say earlier. Little things that bothered me about him that I have not witnessed in other quarterbacks, at Alabama at least, is that it's almost like he doesn't know how to play the position really well. For instance, when he would run, oftentimes he would run out of bounds a yard early, which he could have easily had a first down with one more yard, but he would just run out of bounds 1 yard early, not even look for contact, even though he's 225 pounds. A small corner would come up to try to hit him, and he would run out of bounds. And I'm thinking, Milroe, dude, one more yard, we had a first down. That happened several times. It was drive enders. And then also he would go well across the line of scrimmage and throw. And that was called on him multiple times last year. And, you know, he's really fast, yes, but he doesn't follow blocks really well. In several games, he would leave the block and then get tackled. And it was just frustrating. It's like he has a lot of gifts, but he doesn't quite know how to use them. And so, yeah, that really frustrated me. And of course, he couldn't read defenses. He never really went through progressions much at all. It was just kind of either a bomb or get sacked, it seems like, a lot of times. But anyway, we'll find out this year, I guess.
And I think that on top of that, we had offensive line struggles last year, and I don't think we had a top level. We didn't have a Derrick Henry, a Jahmyr Gibbs, a Najee Harris, a Josh Jacobs, even a Damian Harris. I didn't feel that any of the running backs there that were in the rotation last year are guys that are going to be starting NFL running backs. I could be wrong, but I didn't think we had that kind of running game. Then the offensive line, the pass protection was not what we would want either. I mean, how many times were guys getting beat on the edge with speed rush? And I don't know how much of it was design and poor pass blocking design and poor plays and Milroe holding on to the ball versus just our offensive line could not hold up effectively across the board. One of those tackles that was getting really torched last year was speed rushers. And we'll talk about that later, but hopefully they're going to be a lot better in pass protection this year. And also with Ryan Grubb coming in, they're going to scheme it up. But I just thought our offense was boom or bust. It was explosive play or nothing. We were not an offense that was good at putting together three 10-play drives in a game and scoring 21 points off of long drives. It was either big explosive plays for touchdown with Milroe running it in or going over the top to Ryan Williams or Jeremy Bernard, or it was fumble, interception, or three and out and punt the ball. And so that was just very frustrating that I didn't feel like we had a consistent effort. Even in the Georgia game where Milroe was great in the first half, and then he had one explosive play in the second half, but we almost lost that Georgia game because in the second half, other than that big play to Ryan Williams, the defense really bailed us out or Georgia would have beaten us in that game. So it was not even a full game that Milroe put together, and yet he was being touted as a Heisman winner. And then in the Vanderbilt game, he did some good things in the Vanderbilt game, but he also had some turnovers and took some unnecessary sacks and, you know, wasn't great. And then against Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Michigan, they just shut him down. They just said, you're not going to run against this. We're not going to allow the running game. We're not going to give you the deep ball, and good luck picking us apart with 3 to 15 yard passes. Tom Brady, he is not. And it's going to be really interesting in the NFL if someone can develop Milroe. The best case scenario for Milroe is he's Jalen Hurts. That's what he hopes he can become. That's what the NFL types are banking on. But I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a much more effective NFL quarterback than Milroe is, because I just don't think Milroe has the ability to read defenses and the accuracy to do what he needs to do, even though he is a fantastic athlete. But we'll see. I mean, I hope he does great. I'm just very, very skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic athlete, and I guess what you mean by that is he can run fast, but he has no
touch. Well, he can throw the ball. He can throw the ball deep, but right, the accuracy. Yeah.
Yes, I just feel like on the basketball court, I don't think he'd be that great. I don't think he'd be a great baseball player. What I mean by that is, like, remember, good grief, his name slipped my mind. Who's the Carolina Panthers quarterback? Just lost his.
To my Cam Newton.
Bryce.
Sorry, yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, he was a point guard. He was an all-state.
Right, and I didn't even know that, John.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
But I remember watching Bryce. He would get some bad snaps. His head never went down. He'd pick the ball up and just keep the play, just keep going. If Milroe got a bad snap, it was a big deal. It's a bad snap. He might not get it. He's going to take a sack. He's going to start running. I mean, he just didn't have good hands. I never saw any short to intermediate passes because it takes some touch. Now, he can heave it because it takes one speed, all you got, and he can heave it. But I just don't see that translating into the NFL, not having good hands, not having good touch. He can throw it hard, and he can throw it far, but I just don't, you know, I don't think that's going to pan out. And I think Ty Simpson is a quarterback. I think he played quarterback a lot in the past. And I think he knows how to play the position. I want to say his dad was a coach. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct.
Yeah. And so I just think he's going to bring the intangibles that Milroe didn't have. And we're not going to have as many drive stoppers. I just think we'll be a more consistent offense. And he's had 2 years in the system of the new OC and, you know, Ryan Grubbs and Nick Sheridan. So he'll probably have a bigger playbook when they need it. So I think we'll have much more success.
And I think the Nick Sheridan fact, it's gonna be really interesting to see how inexperienced and how much did Nick Sheridan hurt us in game planning and coaching us up and really being able to run an offense and to prepare the team and to get them to do. And I'll give Milroe credit for this. He's a great deep ball thrower. He's a great throwing a post route, a go route, the deep ball. That's what he can do. But, you know, a short intermediate pass, he could never do what Tom Brady could do, which is just throw a guy open 3, 5, 8, 10 yards, hit him in the right spot, see it, and read the defense, and just pick a team apart with those short intermediate passes. That's what he can't do. But getting back to the Ryan Grubb, I believe Nick Saban tried to hire Ryan Grubb as his OC his last year, and Ryan Grubb stayed at Washington, and then he went to Seattle instead of coming over with DeBoer. DeBoer wanted him to come here, and then things didn't work out at Seattle, and so now he came back here, and I'm really excited that we're going to have a high-level offensive coordinator on the Sarkisian level, on the Lane Kiffin level, and to see what he can do with Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson's a five-star quarterback. He was a five-star quarterback for a reason. I don't think he ever was given a real opportunity to win that job. If you remember, Buckner came in from Notre Dame, and Tommy Reese was a Notre Dame guy, and he played favorites with Buckner, I think because of that Notre Dame connection, and for whatever reason, he never really gave Simpson a chance to win the job over Milroe. It was going to be either Buckner or Milroe, and then Saban just went with Milroe. And then look how much more productive Milroe was under Saban. He had 23 touchdown passes under Saban, and I think he only had 5 interceptions versus 11 interceptions last year and only 16 touchdowns. So his touchdowns went down, his interception. So Milroe got worse his first year under DeBoer versus he did as well. So there were coaching issues to it. He didn't get, but he got worse. So, you know, there were just a lot of things. So I'm optimistic about Ty, but we just haven't seen Ty. We don't know. We didn't get to see anything in spring practice. Dr. T, you were at the spring, I don't know what you want to call it. It wasn't a spring game, but the spring right. extravaganza. But did you really get to see anything? I mean, could you see anything from the quarterbacks?
I'll tell you what I saw. In the box I was in, I saw some good food, good hot dogs. I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, I was invited okay. to go to a box, and that was the highlight of the day, the box. But no, I couldn't tell a lot. I mean, you could tell it seemed apparent to me that Ty was the man in charge out there. I did notice the other guys. I mean, again, it's a small sample size, but the other guys threw picks, pretty bad picks, I'll say, like in double coverage. Ty didn't. Ty just kept moving the ball in the drills. You know, there was no, they couldn't tackle Ty. So, you know, it's not quite a game-like scenario, but it seemed pretty apparent to everyone that was watching near me that Ty is the best player right now on the team. I mean, best quarterback option. So yeah, I mean, I just think Ty is going to be a lot better, steady. He has Williams back, and we'll go into all that later, but he has a lot of weapons around him and a great OC. So should be pretty good this year, I think.
All right, Will K, you've been awfully quiet. Jump in here.
Kind of sounds like Ryan Grubbs trying to avoid Jalen Milroe.
It does. Doesn't it?
DeBoer asked him to come. He's like, nah. Jalen Milroe leaves to go to Seattle. Kellen DeBoer asked him again. He's like, yeah, I think I'll give it a chance this time. So
hey, I
love it. I love it. But remember this. I think Ryan Grubb got paid a bunch of money to go be the OC in Seattle, and then I think he got fired.
Then why was he paid a bunch of money if he was going to get fired?
Well, they paid him a bunch of money to get him to go to Seattle instead of coming to Alabama as the OC, I think, and he was going to try his hand at the pro. And this is just kind of what I've picked up through reading. And then I think for whatever reason, they let him go this year. I guess was it McDonald who's the head coach there? There must have had a falling out, so that's what I heard there. But, yeah, it does seem like he was trying to avoid Milroe, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, I mean, look at Michael Penix, you know. Washington's not like a top-tier program or anything. And they went – did they go undefeated until the championship game?
That is correct. He had Penix for 2 years at Washington. And then I believe he had him at Indiana too. I believe that Grubb was coaching him at Indiana. But
that's right.
Penix came over from Indiana, and he had blown his knee out. Apparently, Penix was a great dual-threat quarterback at Indiana, and then he blew his knee out, and I think he had another knee injury again. So he's had both of his knees repaired, but they turned him into a great pocket quarterback who could scramble when he needed to, and it was his second year at Washington that he really popped. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm worried about here is that Simpson – will be good this year, and if he's going to pop, it's going to be the next year where he's going to go from good to great. But, you know, A.J. McCarron in his first year was a game manager, and yet we still won the Natty, and then he really popped his next year and his last year. And, you know, that's something that we need to discuss is do we think Ty – is going to pop this year and be like a Bryce Young did in his first year and just killed it? Or is he going to be just the game manager, the guy that can do well enough to get us into the playoffs and maybe even win a Natty and then really pop the next year? That's one of the concerns I had. You look at Burrow, Joe Burrow, first year at LSU. He's okay. Next year, he kills it. He's a Heisman winner. And same thing with Jaden Daniels. His first year at LSU, he was pretty good. They did beat Alabama. But the next year, he just was killing it again. And I think that's one of the things about Ty is he's sat on the bench. He's bided his time. He's learned a lot. He's 21. I certainly think if we're having to play Keelan Russell over Ty Simpson, this is probably a lost season because it can be really hard for a true freshman to come in here and lead us where we need to go. Ty needs to do it. And then maybe Ty goes pro after that and we turn it over to Keelan Russell. But I have real concerns about if Ty's not the guy, that the other two guys are not ready to lead us back to the playoffs. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes quarterbacks – I mean, if Kalen DeBoer wants to keep his job, I think Ty Simpson has to be good this year, don't you think?
No, I think if we – I mean, I think if we had 9 wins, he keeps his job, but we're going to do better than that, don't you think?
I think we've got to make the playoffs.
I think he has 2 years for sure, DeBoer, but –
Yeah, last year was the stinker, and this is from the guy outside looking in who's just now getting reengaged to Alabama football. I'm not worried. I'm not. That 9-4 is embarrassing. You know, you had a quarterback that was kind of a trick, you know, it was almost like a magician, but not a quarterback. And just the clips I've watched of this Simpson guy, I'm super comfortable. And I John, isn't he 22? He's a junior, right?
He's a redshirt junior, so he's probably a senior in about, you know, four
years.
Yeah,
he's at least 21. So, yeah, you know, that's 22. The point. He's 21. Austin Mack's, 19? And Keelan Russell's only 18. So we need the 21-year-old to be the mature guy and to lead this team.
Sure.
And I think the point I was making in referring him or comparing him to A.J. McCarron is McCarron was just a game manager the first year. We won the Natty. So I think the big thing is don't turn the ball over. Make the passes when you need to. Throw the ball away. Sometimes punting's not a bad thing. Hand the ball off. Just work the offense. And don't make stupid plays. Don't hold on to the ball too long. Be accurate. And we can do really well with him being a game manager. He does not have to be what Joe Burrow was the year LSU won it for us to do well. Because when we dig into this roster, we have a bunch of 5-star guys. We have a bunch of 4-star guys. We did well in the transfer portal, bringing guys in. And amazingly enough, no one left after the spring practice and transferred out, which hats off to DeBoer for being able to keep everybody. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't, because North Carolina's roster was, it was like fruit basket turnover, the amount of turnover, guys leaving and other guys coming in. And, you know, we got a 24-year-old trying to be Miss Maine and Belichick and all that kind of craziness. So I love the stability of what's going on here. So I don't think Ty Simpson has to be a top 10 NFL draft pick this year for Alabama to do really, really well. Now, if we do well, we go to the playoffs and he comes back next year, maybe Keelan Russell sticks around. Austin Mack will be gone. He's not going to sit for 2 years and not get to play. Whereas Keelan, if he's smart, will bide his time and then be ready to take off, because Ty will be gone in 2 years, maybe just 1 year, but probably likely to stick around for 2 years. And meanwhile, Keelan Russell can be honing his craft and playing in mop-up duty. But I think Ty Simpson doesn't have to be amazing if he can just be that point guard, get the ball out. We got weapons all over the field. And if some of the running backs can come through, I think we can have a great season. But he doesn't have to put up 4,000 yards and throw for 40 touchdown passes. He does need to, you know, throw 25 touchdown passes and throw only 5 or 6 interceptions, not throw 14 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions, I mean, we're in trouble if he does that. He certainly is not going to be able to run for 20 touchdowns like Jalen Milrow did, but he's just got to be able to get it in other people, playmakers' hands and let them do their stuff.
You know, I noticed that the A-Day game also, Ty was very comfortable with checking down, throwing to the running back on plays. I mean, it's just things that you love to see in a quarterback that we haven't seen in a couple of years. He made smart plays. I remember last year he came in and mop up duty one game. I can't remember the game, but I remember it was the first play was he rolled out to his right and threw right over a linebacker to a tight end. A very easy 10-yard pass that I just had not seen Milrow do before. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks so nice. And I'm excited about it. And also, remember last year, by the end of the year, the receivers started to really show their frustration on the field with Milrow. And we all heard the rumor that, you know, and the board did not deny it, that they all came down after the season and said, hey, listen, we're going to transfer if he comes back. You know, DeBoer said, that's not all true, he said, something to that effect. So we know that that kind of happened. And then yesterday on Jocks, a guy on there said that he, you know, I love this third person thing here, but he said, I have a very good, reliable source from a very good player on the team that the players went to Ty mid-season even and said, hey, you got to go plead your case to play, to start. And they said, Ty said, I'm not doing it that way. I'm only going to get it if I earn it. I'm not going to go politic to play, and which makes me like him even more if that's true. But so I think the players even last year saw it, that he needed to start. So that makes me feel like, hey, even though it's his first year to start, he's pretty good. I think the players feel like he's pretty good. And I think he's going to have like a Mac Jones type year. I think he's going to have his only year. It's going to be this year. He's going to do very well. I expect us to win the whole thing. And I think he's going in the draft. And then Keylon starts next year. Boom, you heard it here. Mic drop. Bam.
Well, Rick, the one thing about the Mac Jones comparisons, remember, Tua.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Got wiped out with his hip, and so Mac got to finish year, and he had that horrible loss where he threw two pick sixes against Auburn at Auburn. So Mac got his feet to the fire. And also Mac at the A-Day game, one of his years was the MVP. So Mac had the on-field experience before that COVID senior year where they just rolled. So he was battle-tested. Yeah. And, you know, that's the one thing I'm worried about Ty is he didn't get the reps he should have gotten. He should have gotten a lot more reps this last year.
He sure should have.
And I'm not saying that Ty can't lead us where we need to go, but I think Mac benefited from making some horrible mistakes that year where Tua got hurt and his hip was busted, and you know he had the Bo Jackson hip injury and his season was done, and so Mac had to play in some big games, and he still almost got us to the SEC championship game. And we should have beaten Auburn except he threw those two pick sixes at the goal line. If we kick field goals, we beat Auburn. We go to the SEC championship game. No, I think we would have skipped it. I think we would have LSU won and we would have skipped it, but with one loss would have gotten in the playoff as the fourth team against LSU, and it would have been Mac taking us to the playoff in all likelihood. But that was the one thing, is Mac got those tests, and I mean he didn't do well. He took some hard knocks, but that had him ready to go in that COVID year, and Saban had him, and that was a loaded team. So you know he just did the great. But I think Ty Simpson can be successful this year. But let me ask you guys this question. What if Ty gets out there and he falls on his face and he's not the guy and they have to play Keelan? Can we make the playoffs if Ty does not come through?
Ty's coming through. You said in Ty we trust. We're in this right. 32 minutes deep already. This cat
Ty is the guy. Ty is the guy. In 32
minutes.
Trust.
So are we? Is this going to be a two-hour session since we've just beat this guy like a drum? Or are we going to move on to other players? He's fine, man.
I want to talk about Keelan. I want to talk about Keelan. Do we think a true freshman could take over? Let's say Ty falls on his face. Can Keelan come in and do it as an 18-year-old true freshman? Will K., what do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, he hasn't had a lot of experience. He's a five-star. I mean, I feel like he's been the backup here for forever. I mean, he was the backup to Bryce Young. At some point, I thought he might be like, what happened to him? Anyway, oh, there he is. At some point, I thought he was going to be like Paul Tyson, you know? Paul Tyson was supposed to be like the guy, but he just never panned out. But, you know, now he's getting his shot. But we have gone a full year with a mediocre quarterback and then a talented youngster step up. So if Keelan Russell is who we think he is, then absolutely.
Dr. T, what do you think about that scenario where Ty fails and we have to go with Keelan?
Well, first of all, I hate to beat the drum more, Scott, but I have to say this. What people don't appreciate about Ty who haven't watched him, because I hear people on the radio from far away say, oh, he's gonna be a pocket passer like Mac Jones and just stand there. This guy can fly. He runs
you
like
got
a
that
four,
right. You got
he runs
that
like
right.
A 4.5, a 4.6. The guy can move. He's not as fast as Milroe, but this guy is an athlete. So I think people are going to be surprised what he does with his legs this year when plays break down. And I guarantee you, Ryan Grubbs, there are going to be some quarterback runs that he's going to gash defenses. Just watch. That's number one. Number two, Keelan. Yeah, John, I don't know. I mean, he's awfully young, and I know A-Day – it's just one little sample, but man, he was throwing some pretty bad picks. Now the ball does zip. Okay, that's good. The ball zips out of his hand. It's super beautiful to watch. But I don't know, because so if Ty falls on his face, that's going to be early. What's it going to be? I guess Florida State, ULM, Wisconsin. So if he falls on his face right in there, and Keelan comes in and against Georgia. No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And then,
well, I think it would be Ty goes to Georgia, gets wiped out. It's playing mediocre, but we win those games. But then Ty goes to Georgia, we get blown out. Ty plays terribly, and then they pull him and go with Keelan.
So in that scenario,
that's the scenario.
In that scenario, I think with this team, with a really solid defense and a good offensive coordinator, they could probably get to the playoffs, because the playoffs you can lose two probably. And so, yeah, I think it's possible. But if we lose to Georgia, we don't have much margin, right? And so, I don't know. It's a tall task to get through the last eight or nine games without losing just one with a true freshman. But so I would.
Well,
not, I don't
yeah,
like
could
that.
He could yeah. he pull a Hurts? Could he do what Jalen Hurts did as a true freshman and lead us to the championship game? I mean, that would be my question, is could he be as good as Hurts was as a true freshman?
I think he could be, yeah.
And I think all of us are discounting Austin Mack and thinking Austin Mack's not going to play, he's not the guy, and then he's going to transfer after this year. That's my take on Austin Mack.
Me too. I agree. Now, I think Keelan Russell won't stay around in another year to sit. I think the money will be too good to go somewhere else. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, if Keelan has to stay – his sophomore year, he's gone.
You mean if he has to sit? If Ty stays another year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But if Ty's good enough, then he might go to the NFL draft.
John, you back?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Scott, are you there?
We're all here, and we're still talking about quarterbacks. Those are two things I know. 22 years old, 6'2", 209, runs like a deer, cerebral. He's fine. We're good.
Let's talk about the running back room. I'm concerned about the running back room. Somebody give me some comfort in why we're going to have quality running backs this year and have what? Because at Alabama, we expect to have NFL caliber running backs, and I don't think we had that last year. Somebody make me feel better about the running back.
You don't like Angry Dick Young? His name's Richard. That's why I said that.
But some people call him the big dick. So
yeah.
This is a Christian program, right?
We call him Angry Dick Young. But I think that our running backs are fine. I mean, we got a stable. There's a lot of young ones. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Acklin Deer. He's a 5-star. Daniel Hill is good. Jam Miller is a good running back one. I mean, I like him. Maybe would have liked to see more Justice Haynes. But, you know, last year we didn't run the ball a lot. It was more Jalen Milroe designed runs. You know, that little guard pull. I don't even know what you call that. Like quarterback off tackle. But a lot of that on the goal line. The running backs just didn't get a lot last year, and I think you'll see more of that. And then Draylen Washington out of Lafayette, maybe. He was pretty good. I think he was like near a 1,000-yard rusher. So I think you're going to see.
And he can run.
Yeah.
Dre Washington, I think he's sub 4.4.
He's good. I agree. I watched tape on him. That guy's legit.
You're going to probably see two, maybe three running backs go in there like a couple years ago with McClellan and Roydell Williams and Jam Miller.
Guys, I'm cautiously optimistic that Daniel Hill is going to be a bowling ball and just wipe people out. I think he could be really good from everything I've read and heard. I haven't seen him play, but any comments on Mr. Hill?
I think that there's only so much playing time that you can get, you know? I mean, are you going to run 4 running backs deep? I mean, that's not a lot of stats are going to be accumulated because there's only so much field you can see. I think there's going to be some third down situations, but, you know,
I could see Hill being the goal line back though. From what I understand, he is a solid 240 and he's strong and fast, and he might be that guy that good luck, the first, you know, breaks his yards after contact are high. And, you know, one guy is not going to tackle him. He's going to knock people over. So I'm enthusiastic about that. I think
Miller's going to get like 75% of the snaps, and then you're going to see 2, maybe 3 others, you know, kind of fight for those snaps. And, you know, I know we're going to get into it, but, I mean, are we going to need to run the ball that much? I mean, obviously we are, but we're going to have the best receiver core in the country, in my opinion. Yeah, Ohio State has Jeremiah Smith, but in terms of depth and ability, I think that ours will be the best.
Dr. T, give us an assessment of the running back room. I think we have lost Dr. T.
So, hey, how big the guy, John, the guy you were talking about, the goal line back, how tall is he?
I think he's only 5'10".
Okay. I'm agreeing with you because Miller is what, 220 and 5'10", and then Young is 5'11", 216. I like those sizes. I don't know. I'm in that Dre Washington's explosive. So I'm feeling pretty good as the naive one in the bunch.
Yeah, Hill is 240.
Wow.
Yeah, he is a bowling ball.
Right, but all of them are strong. You know, they're not 180. They're all, you know, 220, 216, 240. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. I guess Dr. Rick's taking a nap.
I think he's lost his mic. So the other one I'm really curious to see is Dre Washington, because I think he's the burner. He is the closest thing we have to Jahmyr Gibbs on this, because Jam Miller's not a burner. I think he's a 4.5, 4.6 40 guy. I think Richard Young's pretty fast, but again, I'm not sure he runs sub 4.5.
You're right, John. When I watched footage of all of them, Miller would get caught from behind, you know, in the open field. And whereas Dre would just create separation. So pick me up, Will. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really watched a lot of them. Just Richard Young and Jam Miller. Justice Haynes is gone. But I think it'll be fine. You know, above average, but...
Hey, so, John.
You're there.
Yeah.
You there? Yeah, I've been here the whole time.
You went silent. Dr.
I'm
T,
here.
You went silent on us. Okay. All right. Well, what about the running back room? We were waiting on you to give us a running back assessment.
He's avoiding the question. He doesn't want to answer it.
He pleaded the fifth.
Yeah, he's he's cooking something up over there.
Doctors are smart, man. They know how to play their hand.
I mean, it's picking me up, but I can't hear them. I can leave and come back, can I? Should I do that?
Yeah, I think you should. All right, let's move on to the receiver room, Will K.
I mean, I don't understand. They were talking, all of a sudden it went quiet. I don't know.
It'll be the best in the country.
Ryan
Williams. All right. Are we good now?
That was kind of fun. I think we won't lose any subscribers over that.
Yeah.
I hope not.
But yeah, obviously Ryan Williams, the second best wide receiver in the country behind Jeremiah Smith, the best in the SEC. Jeremy Bernard, he was a good wide receiver too last year. And then I think Isaiah Horton is a good three. He can just throw it to anybody. It'll take the pressure off of Ty. And then we got Lotzier Brooks. I've heard good things about him.
I've heard he's another, he's another Waddle type guy.
Yeah.
That he's a burner, and you get him in space, and he's going to make explosive plays and take it to the house. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, he might have too many weapons. There might be so many people open, he can't even make a decision.
Well, Cole Adams is good. He's a good slot receiver.
I was about to get to Cole Adams too. He kind of reminds me of those New England Patriot wide receivers. You know, that kind of just, they were reliable. They just caught it and just, you know, not a lot of speed, but you know, he's a good punt returner too. But he would catch the ball. Really good hands, doesn't fumble, doesn't muff any punt returns. So he's a good, like, third and short kind of guy when you need, like, an out or a whip route. And then we get Jalen Hale back. He looked really good. You know, he got hurt last year, but the year before, he caught that touchdown against Ole Miss. And I was like, this guy's for real. So we're going to have a lot of weapons with the receivers. And then – Josh Quavis, I know he's a tight end, but I thought he impressed me last year. He was really good, so we'll have him back too.
Well, let's talk about Isaiah Horton. I think the thing that Isaiah Horton brings to the table is, I believe he's 6'4", and I think he's
6'3", sorry.
All right.
6'3", 175, averages 11 yards. Not bad.
But he's that guy that in the goal line situations, he can beat a guy one-on-one. You can toss it up to him, and he can go get the ball and come down. Michael Irvin type guy. I'm really excited about him. And Horton and Ty Simpson were on the same 7-on-7 team in high school. So they have a history of playing together. So I think they're going to have an instant chemistry from their high school days. So I think he's going to be a big red zone receiver and a big third down receiver. When we just got to pick up, say it's third and 10 and we got to get 11 yards. He's the guy you can go to because the one thing about Ryan Williams, he is explosive, but he's not the guy that's going to go up against a tall corner and out jump the guy. And I think that's where Isaiah Horton, I'm really excited about that. All right, let's move on to the tight ends. Will Kay, you were talking about the tight ends, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't know who Josh Quavis was last year, but he made some good plays. I really liked what he did. Didn't really use a lot of tight ends. Or I guess we did, actually. You know, Robbie Oots and C.J. Dupree. I don't know how tight ends fit into Grubb's offense, and I'm not sure that we have a lot of depth, but I like Quavis.
I know we brought two guys in out of the transfer portal, and a lot of people are talking up Marshall Pritchett, who I believe is at least a four-star. So I think we've got some options at tight end, but I think it's unclear what the level of play is going to be, so we're just going to have to watch that. All right, let's jump into the offensive line. Will K, thoughts about the O-line and question marks and thoughts?
I like the offensive line. Caden Proctor, he's pretty good. I mean, I think he's projected a first-round draft pick.
No doubt.
You know, he kind of gets burned sometimes. You know, he's a pretty big. If you know, you got a speedy defensive end, he might have trouble with that. But the center is the best in the country. We got that Newberry guy from
Cam Newberry out of came out of the portal,
one sack at Texas A&M.
Yep.
Or something like that. So I'm excited about him. Wilkin Formby. I don't know about him, you know. Maybe it's just the penalties with him. But the only thing that I've seen, you only notice an offensive lineman when they play bad, you know. So we need them to kind of not notice the offensive lineman. We don't need to name them. Because if you do that, then you know that they're doing a good job. So, you know,
yeah, this is a big year for Wilkin. Last year, Wilkin had some struggles, particularly in pass pro. He got burned by speed rushers, and I'm not sure how much of it was lack of putting a tight end with him or sending a running back to chip. But Wilkin is a big, strong bulldozer of a guy, and he's certainly strong enough. I hope he's worked a lot on his lateral quickness, his footwork, using those arms in pass pro, because he is prone to a speed rusher beating him to the quarterback. So they're going to have to scheme things up. And I think one of the things they need to do is if Wilkin does get in trouble where he's got a speed rusher and is being beaten, what they need to do is run behind Wilkin and Jaden Roberts and just beat up whoever the D end is there. If he's a speed rush guy, and just let Wilkin maul him to death. And by the fourth quarter, that guy will be in trouble. But I don't think they helped Wilkin a lot with the designs. And then hopefully Wilkin's really been working on his lateral quickness. So to me, Wilkin's probably the biggest question mark in the starting group. But I mean, they've really sung his praises in spring practice and his development. So hopefully after taking those lumps that he did last year, and with the holding penalties and getting beat on the edge and giving up sacks, that, you know, he's learned his lesson. He's ready to roll this year. So he certainly was a highly rated four-star. He's big. He's strong. He can run block. He can bulldoze some people. It's just, can he hold up in pass pro against some of these high-level rushing ends? But they can solve that by putting a tight end over there, chipping with a running back. There's a lot of things they can do to help him out in that thing. But that's probably my biggest concern, is just, can he hold up against speed rushers?
Hey, John, real quick to your point, I don't know how much this, I guess you pronounce it Knudsen from Weber State is going to fit in, but he's a good blocker. I just, in the footage I watched, so you may have a point there. Maybe they put him in to offer that assistance.
And Quavis is a pretty big tight end as well. I think he can chip, and then some of those running backs can do that. But I think that's some of the things. They just got to scheme it up. And in obvious pass situations, they've just got to do things that are going to make sure that we don't leave our guys hung out on an island when they load up on blitzes and such. They've got to recognize that. But also, Milroe hung on to the ball way too long and took sacks he shouldn't have, because he should have gotten rid of the ball, either thrown it out of bounds, thrown it into the dirt without getting a grounding penalty, but not just hanging on to the ball and taking sacks because he just thought he could out-athlete the rushers, and he took a lot of stupid sacks that he shouldn't have taken just because he was more of an athlete than he was a high-level quarterback in those pressure passing situations. So I think those are the big concerns I have about the offensive line. But I really think having Ryan Grubb in is going to help clean up a lot of that. And everything I've heard about the line prep and the line coaching that they're getting this year and having them for another year, guys getting your feet to the fire for a year and being battle tested, you can grow a lot in that year of taking those hard knocks. So I think we're ready to step up. I'm pretty excited. I just think there's a lot of question marks about the offense, but part of it's we didn't get to see them in spring practice. We didn't get to see a spring game. And the reason they did that is they don't want to put stuff on film, and they don't want to have our guys get poached in the transfer portal and have all these outside influences seeing how well our guys are doing and then getting offered all this money. So there's a lot of cloak and dagger going on with the spring practice. And so you just don't know a lot about how much they progressed since last year, because we were able to keep guys, but they don't want to put a lot out there, and they don't want to know how good some of these guys are. So they're kind of trying to hide them. And there's a lot more secrecy to spring practice now with the whole transfer portal thing. Will K, thoughts?
Thoughts on what?
Will, did we lose you?
Hello?
He's there.
All right, guys. I think it's time to wrap this podcast up. I think we've beaten the horse. We got a dead horse here. Anyway, there's a lot of optimism about the Alabama offense, but I think there's a lot of question marks as well. We've got a lot of guys who are going to have to step up into key roles that aren't proven to play at a high level. But Alabama is loaded with 5-star and 4-star talent. Have a lot of talent on the offense. There's a lot of room for optimism. Anyway, this is another episode of the Bamature Hour. We've gone through the outlook for the offense, given what we know coming out of spring practice. And roll tide.
Roll tide. Defense next.